The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Judge, off in here, I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Driving!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and the Revis watch is on. The clock is ticking. 4 p.m. today. He officially becomes a free agent if the Patriots do not, in fact, pick up this option they have. It was reported today by Ian Rappaport that sources close to the Patriots say they will not pick up the $25 million option.
It was actually reported yesterday by Adam Schefter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
NFL's giving Rappaport the...
Of course they are, but Adam Schefter reported it yesterday.
But, you know, that's just a report. I heard this morning that the papers, whatever is required to inform the league they won't be picking up the option, had not been filed yet.
Correct.
So you don't have to do that, I guess, till 4.
Right, by 4 o'clock.
So there's no rush there, but, you know... we'll see what happens. McCourty, big news over the weekend. He was re-signed to, is it the largest safety deal ever? Or?
Depends how you look at it, but yeah. Basically, yes.
It was a big deal. So that's done.
Big deal.
So that's done. But, you know, the question is now, of course, everyone's asking, what are they going to do with Revis? Other news, Brandon Browner was told he could test his value on the market. Now, he's under contract, but it doesn't look the Patriots are going to pick up his $2 million option. Now, if they don't, does that make him a free agent, Andy
Yes,
Hart?
It would void the contract.
It voids the contract if they don't pick up that option.
Your starting cornerbacks could be free agents as of 4 p.m. this afternoon.
Right.
The retooled secondary that led you to a Super Bowl title may be hitting
now,
free agency.
Now, I think you have to look at the Browner situation and the Revis completely different. They're completely separate.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, I think that they are... looking to, you know, do something with Revis. Browner, I'm not so sure about.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a Toyota Camry and a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
You know, one's a solid car that can get you from A to B, but the other is, whoa, everybody watches when you drive down the street. And Revis is the key to everything. He's the best available free agent, even though technically he's not a free agent yet, and Sue technically is still a free agent. In all reality, Darrell Revis is the best available free agent on the market. He's a Hall of Fame talent who is still in the prime of his career, is going to turn 30 this summer, and I know maybe in some circles that devalues him a little bit, but he's coming off a Pro Bowl-type season. You said it yourself.
Transformational
player.
Yep.
Transform this defense from not very good, you know, third and long was actually an advantage for the other team, to they were a pretty good pass defense this year. They got off the field on third down. They were a complementary aspect of a championship team.
Yep.
That is what Darrell Revis is. Yep. And he's made $16 million a year, average annual value, the last couple of years. And I think most people assume that that's what he's going to be looking for moving forward.
Yep.
I would also...
Eric's
just,
here.
Yeah, hi, everybody. Just
yeah,
posted
hi.
Some SPFW,
hi.
So
how
a little,
are you?
Running a little behind here. Let's not forget that how much of a liability in some cases Browner was on the field with all the penalties that he committed. I mean, he was certainly an upgrade from a coverage standpoint from some of the other players that they had over
there. Paul's here.
He didn't die.
Wow.
Wow.
But, I mean, I think that's something that maybe the team was looking at when they reviewed
this past season. That depends on which side you look at. It's either physical swagger and a good thing, or guy was good, two penalties a game. I mean, there's 100-and-something penalty yards every game.
He missed the first month of the season, and by midseason, he was leading the team in penalties. So, you could look at it like they're maybe not so concerned about letting him test the market.
Fred will look at it both ways, depending on whether he resigns or leaves.
Well, no, but the important thing is to figure out not what Fred thinks, but what the Patriots think. You know, of Brandon Browner. That's what we're trying to figure out.
He's a good, solid, complimentary player who's not worth the money, and if they can get him on their terms, they'll get him. I don't think he's in – I mean, there is – no, I don't – not that I don't think. He's nowhere near the class of a McCourty or a Revis in their eyes. Now, they may put McCourty in a class that I wouldn't put him in, but they look at him as a marquee player.
Going back to McCourty, when the news came out, I think – from what I read on Twitter from fans, happy to see him back, but pretty surprised at the amount.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
That was my reaction from afar.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's Paul Perillo.
Yeah. I just
big felt time Northeastern fan.
CAA champ.
Going to the NCAA tournament for the first time going in 24 years.
But is Paul going?
We'll talk
you
about
better
that.
Be, because no. if
we'll
you're
talk
not
about
going,
that later,
dead.
But let's stick to Patriots right now. Let's not digress.
The McCourty thing, you know, when I saw the numbers, I was really surprised. And I had read,
you didn't want to give him 9.5 for 1 year.
No.
They gave him 9.5 for 5 years.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Now, it all depends on how you come down on this. And did you just want the player? Did you want the player? That's what it cost to get him, because it was pretty clear from some of the stuff that I'm sure you guys are much more well-versed on, all the stories that came out afterwards about him calling Bill and thanking him for the 5 years. I mean, I think he thought, and he was everywhere on ESPN yesterday, so I did get to see a lot of him talking about the whole situation himself. He called Bill.
Well, I think he played Bill.
I think
he played Bill the way Bill plays other people, but I don't think it was fake. I think he legitimately, you know how they tell you that when you go in a car dealership, you have to be willing to walk out? That's how you deal?
Yeah.
Whoever is willing to walk away kind of has leverage. I think he was willing to walk away, let the silence be deafening up until the point, and say, Bill, I mean, thanks. And that kind of had to force Bill into maybe changing his MO a little bit.
Do you think the Patriots were kind of prepared? Because they said that it came together really quickly after that call. Do you think that they had that contingency deal in the back, or that they scrambled and put it together right then?
No, I think that was market value. That guy from CBS Sportsline nailed it when he did his 19 predictions for free agent contracts. He nailed McCourty's, I believe, right down to $47.5 million. And I think so the Patriots knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't Welker, where he was inflating his value. A safety on the open market when there's no competition, he's one of the only guys available to start at that level. I mean, he's going to get his $9.5 to $10 million a year, $40+ million, half of it guaranteed. I mean, he got the market.
Yeah, half of over $28 million of it is guaranteed.
Yeah, fully guaranteed for 24 of it, 25 of it. There's a little
heftier number than I was.
Yeah, I have no interest in that contract unless Revis is back. If Revis is back, I'm fine with it, because I wanted to keep the band together so I can win Super Bowl 50. Right. If Revis is gone, then I want no part of that contract, and I actually feel bad for McCourty, because he's going to become the whipping boy when the pass defense isn't all that good.
Exactly how exactly what I was thinking all day yesterday.
But that's why I would have franchised him, to keep him at $9.5 million
I really liked the fact that they got aggressive to retain a player that they obviously liked. And we said it all along. We know that Bill really likes this guy. But if you don't do it to Revis, too, I would say, what are we doing?
Right.
If you're going to overpay one guy, you got to overpay Revis.
Now he just slots in. If you don't re-sign Revis, he becomes, whatever they do with Mayo, he becomes the next Mayo. A nice player who doesn't make a ton of plays, who's making $50 million.
So if you're the Jets or another team that is interested in Revis, how much over the value for the top corner in the league do you go?
Well, I wouldn't. If I'm the Jets, because I don't think I can win if I'm the Jets. Maybe the window I'm paying three. Everybody keeps saying, let's do a short-term 3 years, $50 million, fully guaranteed, or some ridiculous thing. I'm not sure if I'm the Jets. I think I can win in the next 3 years. So what? I mean, what am I wasting the money on?
I was listening to our buddy Beadle on the way in as I was driving to get here, and they were talking about the different teams that have been rumored, and him and Zoe, and Zoe was in agreement. You know, if he goes to Buffalo, you know, with Rex, and they got some pieces on defense, and you know, McCoy might be able to give him a little bit more offense. That might be something to be concerned about. You know, if he goes to, you know, Beadle was just saying other teams, you know, like Indianapolis or Denver, you know, those are teams that are your competitors. If he goes to the Jets, yeah, it'll stink that he goes to the Jets because we hate the Jets, but that's not going to help them win. And they made the exact point that Andy just made, both of them, and they were both in agreement. You know, the Cleveland supposedly is coming on the back burner now on the Twitter. What's he going to do for Cleveland?
But how much is it that the Jets, the Bills, the Browns are desperate to impress their fan base, you know, and that they'll do this just to show their fan base, we're willing to do anything, you know.
Well, I don't think the Bills,
how much is that influencing
them? I don't think the Bills necessarily fall into that. This offseason, they've traded for LeSean McCoy. They've signed Jerry Hughes. They have a new coach. I think there's plenty of energy and whatever. Yeah.
So they don't need it as
much. Well, I think that's Rex wanting the player, to have the best corner in the game.
I think he loves Revis.
I don't understand why it – now, I don't know all the cap details, but if I'm a team like the Colts, that's a team that I can sell myself on. If I sign Revis, he could be the piece that puts me over the top, Patriots.
And you slot a guy like Greg Toler? Yeah, no, haven't. I haven't either.
And I'm guessing cap-wise, it's probably just not feasible.
Did Luck get redone? Is he now extended beyond his rookie contract?
No.
That's something they have to start thinking about really seriously.
Yeah, because he's entering year four now. Right?
Is that right?
Yeah. So this is when you can do it, right?
The spring that they would
now
have to make that determination.
He and Russell Wilson can get extended right now. Yeah.
But Fred's right. I haven't heard a ton about Wilson than I have about.
I have
Luck.
Too. Yeah. You're right.
But those are the teams that I think should be interested in Revis. Now we were talking about this in the office. It went from somehow 28 teams, I believe, was the number that Revis himself on the conference call last spring when we signed him said 28 teams showed interest.
I believe you're right.
And now Adam Schefter's trying to tell me that two teams.
It's just two.
It's just the Jets and the Patriots. And I was like, well, what happened to those other 26 teams? And now we've had a couple Clevelands and Kansas Cities, but what changed in a year?
He could help Kansas City.
What? Yeah. No. Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's a team. Like, I think he'll obviously help the Jets, but I don't think it'll matter. Kansas City.
They got
some pieces. They might not
I think Houston should have been interested.
But I think you. I think
Bill
you're
LeBron,
on.
You should be interested.
Well, no, they signed Kareem Jackson for whatever.
I think you're on to something.
Speaking of contracts that are going to hurt Browner for the Patriots side of retention. I mean, those are the secondary cornerbacks, Brandon Flowers. And,
The only thing is
some of those guys got decent money.
Browner's age and baggage kind of hinder him, I think.
Kareem Jackson got good money.
Right, but I don't even know what Browner's exact status is in the drug program. I mean, is he one strike away or what is his?
He's a little older, too.
No, age is definitely a thing, but I also think whatever his status is an issue, too.
But, Andy, you know, going back to what you said about, you know, if the Jets sign Revis, is that really going to help them within the term of his contract? I think a lot of teams that might have been interested last year might be in that boat now where it's like, we need so much more.
Then you probably shouldn't have been interested last year.
Well, yeah, but maybe they had a quarterback who they thought was going to be the guy, and he turns out he's not, and maybe they have to start. You know, I don't know. I think you have to look at every team.
I think there are more teams than two, and we're now seeing it's up to, whatever, five or six. When a Hall of Fame player in the prime of his career becomes available, you at least talk about it internally and say, how much better can he make us? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have interest internally, whether you take the next step and contact and say, is there mutual interest? What's the price to get into the bidding? Whatever. But I just found it ridiculous that there were only going to be two teams involved, Patriots and Jets. Unless that's not coming from teams, that's coming from Revis, saying there's only two teams involved that I'm playing for.
Now, well, that could be.
Somebody came to me today and said, you know, I just wonder what's going on in Revis's head. And I said, what's the rush if you're Revis? You got $25 million in the bank if they don't do anything. You know, so what's your rush? If they decide not to do it, you know you're going to make your money somewhere. So you have all
Who
the leverage in the world. All the leverage in the world. There's no urgency on the part of Revis.
No, but I also think he's not going to let it drag out for very long.
No, I don't either. But he doesn't need to. But I'm just saying that, you know, Why hasn't there been more movement? Won't he just sign? He has all the leverage in the world. He can sit back, field offers, and not have to worry about missing out on anything.
Is this the only person in the organization more biased than you? Because
no.
I'd be saying, what's going on in the Patriots' heads? How are they not getting this
but
done?
But that's the question, right?
Because I don't think anything about Revis.
Exactly.
He's a mercenary. The impetus is on the Patriots to keep Revis.
Right.
To keep him here and keep together your championship team.
Exactly.
Revis, I've questioned him all along. I think he's a mercenary. I think there's some business edge to him and all that. For me, it's the Patriots, what they did to McCourty, which was make him stay.
Right.
I want them to do to Revis. But make him stay.
But even if you love the Patriots and you love winning, and that's part of your MO too, it's still smart business to at least see what the other offers are.
And who the other offers
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he knows the Jets all along have always would be a fallback whatever. But like the Colts, if suddenly Ryan Grigson calls him, if that's his first name, Ryan?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And says, Darrell, you know, we're in. We can't do 55, but we can do 3 for 40, fully guaranteed, or something like that. Yeah. If I'm Revis, I have to say, Andrew Luck,
yeah.
I know we killed him, but I'm on their team, they're not getting killed this time because I'm not letting the other team roll up those points and boom, boom, boom. And you have to find out who, how,
who's
what.
Interested yeah. and how interested.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Yeah, otherwise, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because don't tell me he reached this epiphany. There's nowhere else I'd rather be but Foxborough.
Right, right.
There's no place else for me.
Now, if you're the Patriots, is there a price that you won't go to?
Oh, yeah.
There is?
I don't know what it is, but yeah.
I mean,
I'm not going stupid, ridiculous. If he can get Sue's contract, then I got to let you walk. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a length of contract that you won't go to?
Nah, because that's all fraudulent. It's guaranteed
yeah.
money. And you know what? I shouldn't say I wouldn't do the Sue contract.
I would.
4 years, $60 million, I would do. And if the bulk of it is guaranteed, so it's essentially
is that the fine print?
No. But his guarantee is 60. So whatever happens on the other 100 to get to 114,
may be irrelevant.
I'd probably do 4 years, $60 million, fully guaranteed for Revis. $15 million, nice and easy, $15 million cap figures for the next 4 years. Although I'd have to. $20 million for this year because of the five.
I want to
put this out there. If he leaves, we are going to hear that the $5 million dead money was a tripping point, a hurdle, whatever, because I can already see the Patriots saying, well, actually, that's part of your new contract. We're rolling that into the blah, blah, blah. And Revis going, whoa, 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 whoa. No, that was last contract. Don't even think about that $5 million. We are starting fresh if you don't extend. And you know how they do, no, you play out your deal and then yeah. we'll take care. No. I could see that being an issue where the agent, his agent, and the Patriots view that $5 million dead money hit.
And again, who is
his agent? Is his agent still his uncle?
I don't know.
Sean Gilbert?
He's the advisor, I believe. He's
yeah.
his trusted advisor.
I don't know
advisor,
who the actual agent is.
I forget the names.
He's got that other guy who's like the marketing guy who pops up on Twitter all the time.
And that's the guy that was at the forefront last year
yeah.
when we signed him.
So I don't know exactly. I mean, if you believe your guy, Jason Cole, the agents are irrelevant in this. Last year it was Robert, Bill, and Revis at the apartment in Miami.
Jason Cole, did you see what he did on Bleacher Report a few days ago?
No, I'm glad I brought him up.
Good job, Andy.
He's got a tweet that says, latest news on Darrell Revis. And so you go there, and it's a video of him on a split screen with somebody from the...
Was it one of those hostage videos
yeah,
that he posted before?
Somebody from the Bleacher Report studio talking to him. And absolutely no news. The Patriots will probably not pick up the thing, but if they do... It was absolutely nothing.
Well, he got you.
It was terrible.
And that's why you're angry.
Just terrible.
Now you'll never go back.
I will not ever.
Until the next time where he entices you with a.
I will never click on a Jason Cole Bleacher Report link again.
Trent Cole expected to sign with the Colts, according to the crap sheet.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Okay, well, this is
somebody
the other
I
part
them to look at. Here.
Johnson and Gore and the rest of the University of Miami visiting the Colts today.
You know the
slide Vince
Andre
there.
Johnson.
Yeah, Andre Johnson,
Vince,
Frank.
Vince's
no.
Oh,
but
okay.
Why not? If you're going to visit with those two, bring the.
I think
in.
Vince would make a lot of sense right. for them. You know, that's one of the teams that we talked about last week.
I with all these guys. Why couldn't they? Visit
I did
with
find
Rubens?
It interesting. Andre Johnson and Gore. Not that I mean, both older, so they're probably not going to break the bank, but looking to invest more in the offense. When I would think that your theory with Revis, you know, if you're going to invest some money, make a splash. I mean, you take a guy. I mean, you get Vontae Davis, who's pretty good. Get a guy like Greg Toler, who maybe as a third cornerback. Now he's really good as a third cornerback.
You got
Revis 1 and Davis 2. You know, all of a sudden you got a decent secondary.
Patrick Willis announcing that he will retire.
Yes.
After
tough game, man.
Only 8 seasons.
I think he's doing probably the smart thing for himself.
Yeah. It's a health issue?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't.
Beat to crap.
Yeah. I mean, he could also. I mean, I'm sure it's.
Maybe he's sick of teaching.
I'm sure it's possible he's you know, lost his desire for his passion for the game, but I think it's probably more that he's, you know.
And Brian Hartline signing with the Browns? Did I read that right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I think you did read that.
Yeah. Reportedly a Patriots interest.
Yes.
Hmm. How about the backup battle in Houston?
Yeah.
Mallett and Hoyer?
Well, and now the Jets are interested in Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Has he been released yet or no?
No. Okay. So a lot of movement. It's a good hot stove season.
It's a very good hot stove season, except the NFL's mad about it.
Yeah.
They're going to reprimand teams that have been involved in the hot stove.
Is that why? Well, I didn't hear about
they're pissy
that.
About yeah, the contracts about being it. Agreed to.
I came really close to getting Fred mad at me yesterday on when I saw that.
During the legal tampering, you're not allowed to actually agree to a contract.
Well, no, the numbers. They're really upset that numbers are being
Saturday
publicized.
Night, it was sue to Miami, 114-60.
You know, all the terms are being publicized, and they're really upset about it. I wanted to make a crack about, source, rest of league mad at NFL for not being able to handle domestic abuse.
Isn't that the whole point of the tampering?
All I could think of was, Fred, Paul, it's really not what we're looking for. But it was, I'm telling you, it was right there, and I had the requisite amount of Miller Lights in me. It could have happened.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're talking free agency here. The season starts at 4 o'clock, so less than 4 hours from now.
Patriots, the only team not under the salary cap, according to Burt Breer.
Question I might have for Miguel, or maybe one of you guys can answer it. Miguel said he was going to call in again. When they decided not to pick up Browner's $2 million, does that now?
They have not decided.
They haven't announced that.
Okay, well, if they do, does that go to the positive on the ledger sheet?
As soon as they don't pay Revis, they're under the cap.
No, I know that, but I'm
yes.
The Browner
you would
$2 million.
Save $4.8 million.
For Browner.
Yeah, that's his cap number.
Okay, so that would put them under the cap, too.
But Revis, they've already announced that, well, Adam Schefter has already announced
that
they are not paying Revis.
Yeah,
so they are under the cap.
Right now they're like $16 million
under. The only issue is they didn't file the paperwork yesterday because then Revis would have hit free agency and you lose your exclusive negotiating rights.
I have a question for you. Did they, because I saw that people were making a big deal about that today. Did they actually file the thing for Vince and make him a free agent? Or did Vince just say, they're not picking up my option?
Probably haven't filed.
He's still a Patriot.
No, but like, they probably haven't filed it.
My feeling is, Fred, that
they probably do everything at once.
I don't know. But I just always assumed, and it's probably wrong to do that, but I would think that any option that's due such and such date, that guy is that property until such and such date. Even if they've made the announcement, we're not picking up Vince's. If you don't, why would you file it?
Oh, yeah. It's all based on
why would you have to file? This date. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And that
I don't know. I don't know the procedure.
And that's certainly the Patriots' MO. They're not in a hurry to do any of this.
Well, if you have absolutely no interest in the player.
Well, that's different.
But for all I know, Wilfork, they filed. The Texans did it a day early. So he is already visiting with the Colts. They weren't bringing Andre Johnson back no matter what.
Right.
And sometimes that's you do that in deference to a veteran. You do him a solid.
Sure,
so
maybe
get
give him a
head
chance
start.
To get a head start on the others at four. But
did they have a bonus that was due, or did they just release him?
Who?
Andre Johnson.
I think he had some money coming.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's the same thing. It's all the same thing, whether you void the contract or not. At whatever point you void the contract, whether by releasing the player or by saying you're not going to pick up. That was how your guy Bill Polian got into some awkward TV yesterday when Adam Schefter said, they're not going to pick it up and said, so at 4 p.m. tomorrow, he'll be a free agent. And Polian goes, well, actually, it's today. If they didn't pick up the option, that voids the contract. And Schefter goes, oh, really? Well, there you have it.
And see, then Schefter was like me. Exactly the way I was thinking.
And then Polian goes, well, we should probably check on that before the next show on live TV. But he was right. they were both actually right. Had they actually filed it, he would have been free yesterday, but they didn't apparently file it.
Yeah, I don't see any reason that you would ever file that beforehand unless, as you, Fred and Andy just pointed out, you had just had no interest in re-signing the player, and in especially a guy like Johnson's case, a veteran who's been a big part of your organization.
Certainly,
you'd, solid.
You'd never do it with a guy like Revis or Browner that you theoretically want to bring back. And don't want to give them the opportunity.
And that might
to
be the difference if they did file it with Vince.
They probably didn't, though, because like he said, I was informed on Tuesday that I will. That doesn't mean they filed anything.
And if they didn't file anything with Vince, then it means 0.0 that they haven't filed it with Revis.
Right. Right. Well, depends what you think of Vince. If you're of the belief, like I am, that he's gone, that it's done, that that was a clean break. But if you think they're trying to work something out, which I don't think they are, but
yeah, my point being that. If that's just their standard operating procedure, they do not file the paperwork until they have to on the first day of the league.
They do it all.
That's when they do it.
In a bunch.
What if their fax machine jams like the Broncos?
No,
why are they using fax machines?
That's a good question.
All right, let's get to the phones on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll start with Joe from Charleston. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me all right?
Sure.
Tremendous.
All right. Hey, so if we lose Revis, and I hope we don't, is there anyone else out there that we can pick up that's a star cornerback?
No.
Well, I mean, starter quality.
Oh, starter. Yeah, that's fine.
But
I thought he said star.
Not star. No.
Yeah, there's no star.
Well,
and you mean star in the usual sense, not the football sense.
Well, look, I know there's no – I won't ask about Revis, but, like, is this the end of the road for the secondary if we lose Revis? Is there some way we can build a good secondary? Okay.
No, don't listen to Andy.
That's the way I honestly feel. I think you're back to
this. 30 teams that will not have Darrell Revis this year. You're telling me that none of them can have a good secondary?
But there were. There's other good corners.
Yeah, yeah.
Richard Sherman is not available. Patrick Peterson is not available. Joe Hayden not available. Aqib Talib not available. I can keep going down the list. You know, Vontae Davis is a guy that I would say, okay, there's a good guy to bring in. Not available. Who's available to come in and replace Revis? Not a star. Not a guy
not
that
a
is,
star.
Not a superstar.
Is going to be anywhere
at least
near
at this point.
The level of plus.
But I mean,
what?
Don't tell me that after June 1st.
You never know.
Did available.
I wouldn't rule out trades. I wouldn't rule out anything.
Well, like the guys whose names were coming up were like Brandon Flowers, who I don't know if he had. There was some report that he might have been interested in, was it San Diego?
I thought he signed.
Kansas City? He's in Kansas, San Diego.
San Diego.
I believe he signed for decent money.
Right. So he was a name that I was looking at earlier on that, you know, if things didn't shake out with him. Tremont Williams, he's still,
Packers.
I think, right.
I mean, you're making a precipitous drop off on the depth chart.
Well, I know. But, I mean, those are the kind of names that were at a level that if they didn't get Revis, I was looking at to say, well, who could they possibly get
Certainly,
to fill in?
No matter what happens, if Revis goes, the only way you're going to stay to the level that you were as a team is to build around that position because that position is not going to be as good. There's no doubt, right?
No question.
There's
no
one there that you're going to get that's going to be as good.
I couldn't even tell you who your starter. I mean,
so you're. It's like when you have the weak muscle and you build around that muscle to try to. That's what's happening.
You're stabilize your core.
Exactly. You know. So, and that's my. You know. That's why I'm not going to freak out. If Revis goes, I'm going to wait and see how they spend that money and build this team before I, you know.
I'm going to freak out.
You're going to freak out.
I'm going to freak out a little bit because
I don't think it's necessary.
I don't really know why it's a problem right now.
Well, what are you going to freak out if?
If Revis leaves.
If Revis doesn't.
Oh, if he leaves, yeah. I thought it was specific,
I mean, again,
like today.
If the Jets or some other team give him this crazy contract.
They couldn't give him anything before you. You could do anything you want before any other
team.
No,
I understand, but you're not going to give him a crazy contract. And we assume that something has been on the table. I don't know.
But what's crazy?
Yeah, what's crazy?
We'll find out.
You know what I think is crazy?
So whatever someone else signs
no,
it for will be
a crazy contract?
No, that's
not what I'm saying, Mr. Paranoid.
Would you consider the McCourty contract crazy? Because if you had told
that's
me
not
that
crazy,
if you had told me that proposal 2 weeks ago, I would have said that's crazy.
I know, but when you look at it through, less emotional eyes, you realize that's kind of the market. If you want them,
I'm 100% in agreement with you. Except for that, the Patriots signed one of them, and if someone else signs Revis to that one, you're going to call the one that Revis signed crazy, and the one that McCourty signed market.
Why will I say that?
Like 2 weeks ago.
No, but if
I totally, Fred, you just explained everything just exactly the way I feel. I think if you wanted McCourty, that was market.
Right.
That I would have deemed that crazy 2 weeks ago.
So there's no contract
that was
Revis,
market.
So there's no contract that Revis could be signed for that would be deemed crazy.
Like none? No. I mean, obviously, two years, $100 million. That's a crazy contract.
Well, I know, but
Andy's proposal to me was not crazy.
I just talked myself into 4 years, $60 million.
No, I know, but
all guaranteed. That's
more than I want to give him. That's not crazy. That's market.
No, it isn't crazy. But you said there's a price I wouldn't go. The question is there a price that you wouldn't go that another team would?
But he shouldn't know that, because I should have gone to him this week and said, 4 years, $60 million, Darrell signed.
Do we know that they did or didn't?
I do not know that.
Okay, so I mean.
Well, there were conflicting reports on
that's my point.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait. I'm not going to, you know, if Revis goes, that say, oh, my God, I can't believe. I'm going to wait to see if I can get some facts here.
That's the thing.
What did he sign for? What did the Patriots offer? What, you know. That whole thing.
Yeah, there was an initial report that they had already started discussions, and then I think Tom Curran tripped over himself trying to put out there that they hadn't. Maybe it wasn't Tom, but
that's
somebody
what I was
from CSN and
yeah, somebody
put
said
out
that there was
that
no
there, there
contact.
There was no contact.
And that was kind of
that's
the Patriots.
That's all I was reading.
That was kind of the Patriots' method
MO.
Of doing
that
this.
That was giving a lot of Patriots fans a lot of it was calming the Patriot Nation down a little bit, because that's what they do. They keep it close to the vest. And when you don't hear anything about negotiations, that's when they come in and they get it done.
You know, that's all I've heard.
And
I was thinking to myself, you know, is there a chance that they could just pick up this option?
No. Well, that's what I was talking with Andy about before.
I never
but
thought
it,
that.
Yeah.
It would be a pretty tough cap hit to swallow, even if they came to an extension.
Hey,
after
Tom, can we talk to you again?
Jesus, Bill, how low you want me to go?
Right.
I just think that financially they could do it. I thought that's the kind of thing that would make Bill like break out in hives. Paying one cornerback 17% of his cap, I could see him scratching. Like, that goes against everything he's about.
Right. Yeah, and I think other teams would be pissed off too, because wouldn't that raise the average of the top five cornerbacks in the league for franchise tag next year, or would that not affect it?
His cap
sure.
number,
it
yeah.
would affect.
His cap
it would
be $25 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
you're right. And it would have affected you if you wanted to try to franchise him, because then you would have had to pay him 30 the year after.
Exactly.
I have a question.
Paul has a question.
In relation to the Revis second year, you know, placeholder,
yes,
quote unquote.
Paul.
Why was that necessary?
Why was it necessary?
If they weren't going to use it, you mean?
I mean, obviously we knew the day he signed, you know, he $25 million cap hit that wasn't going to do it. And they've, you know, Jonathan even called it a placeholder.
Right.
So I feel comfortable saying that because the organization has said it publicly. And
I think both sides got something. They got their cap hit spread out a little. And the Revis side got $16
million. How much did he get last
year?
He got his 16.
No, 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 no.
12.
He got 12.
But
there was a 2-year, $32 million contract. So.
No. But what
his AAV was 16.
What was his cash last year that he got? I know what his cap number was 12, right?
He got the bonus was 10, and his salary was 7.
Well, you know what? Instead of asking the question,
so he did get okay.
Let's,
that's,
let's
so that's
talk,
the benefit.
Let's talk.
He
to
got
make,
he got more money, and that was why they.
Let's
they
talk to Miguel from PatsCap.com, who's on the phone right now. Miguel, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. We have a question right off the bat. How much cash did Revis get in his first year?
He got $12 million, $10 million signing bonus, $1.5 million salary, $500,000 roster bonus.
Okay.
So it was 12.
Okay. Then I don't understand why they gave
I think he got his average annual value. He maintained his bragging rights, and I think the Patriots got to spread their cap hit out.
Right. I mean, if you... the alternative was to pay him. You weren't going to sign him for a 1-year deal at $12 million. You would probably have to pay him 1 year at $14 million.
That would have been below market value. Why not?
But if you paid him for 1 year at $14 million, they ended, his cap hit last year was 7. Under a 1 year $14 million scenario, his cap hit would have been $14 million.
Right.
A $7 million increase. They ended end of the year. $5 million under the cap.
Was it $12 million or $14 million? I'm thoroughly confused now. Why are we getting $14 million?
I don't think he would have signed a 1-year deal for $12 million.
Okay.
I think he might.
All right.
Have
no, that's a good answer. I don't think he would have signed it then. All right. I get
All right.
it.
Yeah, that's what I mean about bragging rights. I think that's beneath him.
I mean, I just
wise.
I mean,
because he signed
a
1-year
like
deal for $12 million.
Worth.
Yeah, but I don't think he would have. If you told him this was a 1-year deal.
No, he wasn't good. I'm sure there were other offers out there. So,
He turned down more money based on everything everyone says, Cleveland, whoever else. He turned down more money. But I think it was a fake contract. It was one of those that he gets to maintain.
Yeah, he knew that.
That he has. He makes $16 million a year because I signed a 2-year, $32 million contract,
right.
Just like I signed a 6-year, $96 million contract with Tampa Bay, which was essentially 1-year deals that re-upped. So it was some of the agent, the way things work in the NFL.
Right. And he was saying that I'm either going to get my money in year two or I'm going to get to free agency year two. Either way, that's what I want.
Right.
Are the Patriots... Do you think the Patriots are at a bargaining disadvantage because of that? Because if you're going back to the Patriots, you're looking to make up that money that you didn't get in year one. But with some other team, it's a fresh slate, and you don't have that baggage hanging over it. Like, whoa, I signed that deal with you. You know, you kind of still owe me that 16 per.
That's why I think that $5 million dead money could be a stumbling block as egos and sort of – philosophies collide at the negotiation table. Yeah. I think that could be an issue.
What else you got, Miguel?
Well, you were asking before, like, why they haven't put in the option. They haven't announced the option for Woodford or Revis or Brahma.
Right.
No.
The reason I think it is because they want to be able to have those guys count in the compensatory pick calculations for 2016. So if you release a player before his contract ends, in order to count, you have to be on the roster at the end of the 2014 league year. In 2007, the Patriots signed Dante Stallworth, where they had an option for the 2008 season. They didn't pick it up, and we got a 2009 fifth-round comp pick for him. So I'm thinking they're doing the same thing for Wilkfork, Revis, and Browner.
Oh, okay.
There's no reason to release a player and give up a chance at comp picks in 2016.
So you're sure about that?
Because I am. Well, I can only go by precedent.
Because that's interesting.
We will find out for sure tonight when they announce the free agents. If they say they don't pick up, if we see Vince's name on the list of free agents, then I'll be right.
What?
Yeah, but I can only go by precedent. Am I 100% sure? No, but I'm going by precedent.
They're going to be listed as free agents regardless. It's whether or not they count to the compensatory.
Yeah, period. Their contract is voided when they don't pick up the option.
And that makes them free agents.
Yeah,
I don't know if.
What I'm seeing is like you don't see like Andre Johnson's release on the official press release that starts at free agency. He's not going to be listed as an unrestricted free agent. Because he's got a street free agent.
Right.
That's what I'm. So if you on the official press release, they don't announce everybody who's got released before today.
Right. But this isn't the same as a simple release. This is choosing not to pick up the bonus.
Right.
Right. But that's the list. The official list of release depending on is what I think depends on the The official list is where I would use my get the comp people.
Right.
Helpful people.
Right.
On the Brandon Browner reports that they won't pick up the $2 million option, if he becomes a free agent, what's the effect to the cap there for the Patriots?
They would save about $4.29 million on the cap.
Okay.
Malcolm Butler would take his spot in the top 51 list. Because Malcolm Butler right now is not on the top 51 list, so Malcolm Butler has a $510,000 salary.
Oh, got right. So yes, you have to subtract that from the full savings of Brown.
Right.
Right. Gotcha. Any other moves do you think the Patriots are going to make before 4 o'clock?
They're going to probably do something with Solder.
Okay.
Because his contract becomes fully guaranteed because he's on at 4 p.m. It's going to be, I think they're going to do something with him because he's fully guaranteed. He's got a lot of leverage in negotiations. Really, I guess he's probably looking at what's going to happen with Brian Bulaga at Green Bay and how much he signs for.
He has some leverage in that. I mean, his offensive line coach told Monday Morning Quarterback that they think he's the best left tackle in football or one of the couple best left tackles in football.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't think he'll be speaking to the media again, like, about a player.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, I don't think, for him. I'm guessing he got called onto the carpet with Bill. But, I think it's interesting, and I know I'm not criticizing you. A lot of people just say, you know, they'll do something with Mayo's contract. Oh, they'll do something with Solder's contract. Well, yeah, they might try.
Takes two to tango.
Right, it takes two to tango, and, you know, each side has leverage in that situation, and who sort of plays the game, plays along. You know, for example, I could see Mayo giving up his leverage, which is his $4.5 million injury guarantee, because he likes it here. He's always been, you know, they took care of him. He's probably a sane guy who says, well, let's be honest, I made $10 million a year for the last couple of years when I wasn't doing anything. I probably do owe them a little bit of money. But if guys don't do that, it's not as easy as just saying, you know, redo it. I mean, as I said, you have to be willing to walk away. Are you willing to walk away from Nate Solder?
Yeah, when somebody asked me about redoing Gronk's deal, I said, look, well, if you bring up redoing Gronk's deal, how do you know he's not going to ask for more money he's making right now?
And I would if I were him.
Yeah.
You won the Super Bowl because I stayed healthy.
Right.
And that's how I would look at Solder, because if I'm Nate Solder, as much as I think he had a crappy year at times, I would also think that I'm a left tackle and I will get $7.5 million on the open market. I guarantee you I'll get that on the open market. I will get that over a number of years on the open market. So I'd be willing to walk away if they told me I was taking a pay cut.
Sure.
Yeah, and then the offensive line, you know, franchise tags in about $11 million. Next year, it's going to probably go up. So why should he agree to a deal that pays him less than $20 million
yep.
for his 2 years?
If I were him, I would dig my heels in better than I do on pass rushers.
Oh, Miguel likes that.
Cracked up Miguel on that one, Andy.
All right, hey, Miguel, thanks for calling in. Keep up the great work. We depend on you. Patriots Nation looks to you.
Thanks,
all right,
Miguel.
MiguelPatsCap.com.
Make sure you keep refreshing your page tonight if we need it.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be busy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these calculations.
Because there's going to be, I know he's blogged about, you know, Dennards and Who-Mans, and it's not just the big stories. There's going to be other issues, comings and goings, and different things going on.
I saw him on Twitter pleading with people to realize that he has a job. He can't be answering questions.
You need to ask him that.
What his job is?
Yeah, do you know?
I think he's a capologist for the Browns. I don't know. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
That was a good one, Fred. my buddy Trent Cole's going to the Colts.
Yeah,
that's
I'm disappointed.
I, really wanted.
I was too.
It's a good pickup for the Colts.
It is. I always liked him. They certainly need help on defense.
Hope he doesn't start lactating there.
Oh.
What?
Well, their other pass rushers lactate.
Jeez.
What's wrong with
what
him?
Are you, what?
Robert Mathis.
Robert Mathis.
Took, like, the fertility drug, and that was supposedly why he got the PED suspension.
Oh. Crazy, tore his Achilles while training, and it never happens to guys that are lactating. I think, what's his name went there, too, according to Kevin? Gore?
Frank Gore?
Yeah, Gore and Johnson. Yep. That's what I said.
No,
like
he said he went there. He said, like, he's agreed to a deal or whatever.
Not according to the Twitter.
Well, I'm just going by Kevin. That's why I said it was Kevin.
Trent Cole and Frank Gore.
Supposedly he's got like a 3. Is it 3-12 or 4-12? I don't know. Something like that. 4-12.
But
him and Johnson, it doesn't make any sense to me. They're adding to a good offense. You know, I would put the pieces in place on defense first. Gore makes sense.
They realize the Patriots are getting rid of their defense, so they're thinking it's going to be the same AFC title game, and it's just going to be a shootout. We got to be able to score.
Yeah, I guess it's 3-12 is what's being reported. I don't know. I mean, I guess Gore makes some sense because, you know, they don't have any dependable running back, but their insistence on trying to develop a running game is killing them. Pep Hamilton's insistence on trying to be this ground attack, that's not what they're built for.
What they should have done was gone out a year or two ago and traded for, you know, a former first round pick. Oh, wait a minute. They did that.
Get a dynamic young running back.
Right.
What do you got, Christian?
I had a question about backup tight end, and I'm not a big fan of Who-Man by any means. I think he's just so limited in what he can do. And there was some interest, I guess, in Roy, is it Helu?
Helu.
Helu from Washington.
Helu.
You heard that first on PFA in Progress, I hope.
That's gained steam. I hear it all over the place.
Well, there's actual validity to it at this point. There's reports that
my guess is we won't get him because he's going to cost more. Because he's the youngest of all those backs that are going to be available, whereas Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush are older and have injury concerns, so they are
value. Well, this reports Percy Harvin's we're interested in Percy Harvin.
Well, he's value because he's been bouncing around dinking it up.
Yeah, Harvin scares me injury-wise.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And locker room-wise. But
he scares me debaggery-wise.
Yeah, that too. But I think if we lose Vereen, a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but on the Twitter machine it said that the Giants were – pretty interested in him.
So Mike Reese says hot and heavy.
Yeah, if we lose him, we certainly need somebody like that. But obviously, Revis has got to be the first domino to fall, obviously, after McCourty. He's the whole thing.
No. See, you had it right when you said Revis is the first domino. He should have been the first domino to fall.
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, I love McCourty. He's not worth $48 million, 20.5 guaranteed. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. He's not.
That scared me with regard to Revis when I first saw that, too, because I'm like, how are they going to be able to do both of these
guys? It didn't make me feel better about, because they don't invest heavily, usually, in one area of the field. So that kind of scares me. But, listen, they know what they have, and like I said, they won a Super Bowl with him last year. You got him here. He's in your system for a year.
I know.
How can you not? You're going right into, you said it last week, you're going right back to 3rd-and-18 conversions. That's what you're going to go back.
I know if you let him go, he's going to blow out his Achilles.
Because it always works out for
me. It always works out. That's right, baby.
And Malcolm Butler won't be a flash in the pan. He'll be like
Malcolm
this, the next great story.
He'll have 11 picks next year.
All right, let's go to McCabe in
Virginia.
Which
I would like, actually, because I like Malcolm Butler.
What's up, McCabe? Hello?
McCabe, you're on. Tell Mom to be quiet.
He's out in the yard playing.
Okay, that's...
made me chuckle.
Let's go then
and that could be one of those where he's going to call back and he says, I'll take it from Andy, but I'm not taking that crap from Eric.
Let's go to Brian in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Fred, you got to get Miguel on the payroll. That guy earns it.
Oh, yeah, well.
Easy now.
You know what? He's barely got us on the payroll, so.
Well, I was going to mention to him, on his website, he should have what they call a tip jar. These are things that, it's like a widget you can download. And
yeah, like a PayPal donate.
Yeah.
He does solicit donations.
Pay-per-view.
I thought what I saw was a donation for his sister's charity, but I didn't see something for himself.
What is it? You have to pay in order to see the content?
Right. No, you don't have to.
It's this thing you're talking about.
Yeah, totally voluntary. But just have it out there.
If we're going to bring up random, late round guys, I mean, I'm a UNC alum. I've been watching Ryan Switzer this year. He's a prototypical, short, white guy, quick receiver. I don't know. I could see him being a late round pick.
In case we get rid of Amendola, we'll slide him in.
Yeah, something like that. Just, it's a fan favorite. I don't know.
You know, Stephen A. Smith thinks that Chip Kelly might draft him early.
Well, did you say that?
He's accusing Chip Kelly of leaning toward white guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, what I wanted to say was, I feel like Darrell Revis is like his own. This is a whole new elephant to deal with or beast to deal with. In that, I mean, from day one, he was saying in interviews, I am here for now. And down to the Super Bowl victory, and I had to watch the CSNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNN feed me my usual PFW needs. And so in that, Revis was getting interviewed by Ty Law. Well, by all of them, but Ty Law said something to him, because Ty Law lately, towards the end, was really preaching that, you know, Revis needs to stay and retire a Patriot, right? Mm-hmm. And if you guys, I tried looking on the website, but in the interview, Ty Law says something like, so Revis, are you coming back next year? You got to come back. And Revis blatantly just goes, just says, I lost the connection. I can't hear anything. I lost the connection. I mean, it was the most blatant lie. It was hilarious. And I wish there was, I can't believe it's not a highlight somewhere on the website. It just literally just looks and says, I can't hear anything. He heard it.
Right.
So
he's the ultimate businessman.
That's because he's Ty when Ty was still playing.
Right.
I don't want to call him it's not a douche. Maybe he's an astute negotiator. Like, he's not. He's out there to make as much money as he can.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything.
I can't fault him for that.
There's no douchiness to it.
No,
it's a business.
But he's not like a team, quote unquote, team player.
Right. And he doesn't like. You don't hear him out there, you respect and all this stuff. He just does it. He just goes about it in a business-like fashion and gets the most money than anyone else can.
Cash that check, baby.
Right.
With the Jets, right? I mean, he would get a new contract and then pulled out again the next year.
Right.
Yeah, but when he's
that's different.
He will give you what he has.
Yeah. See, I think he is very much team-oriented.
He'll say, I'm a Jet for now.
On the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He devotes everything he has to his team
right.
while he's playing.
He's not going to sign anything with the Patriots until he sees what his market value is.
Right.
Like the Jets people used to talk about how, I mean, when Ty said it when he was on the Jets, they've never seen a harder working guy in practice, anybody who took practice more, which was funny, but based on the way we saw him practice in the summer. But,
practice?
You know, walkthroughs.
Super Bowl plays.
He refused to give up completions and walkthroughs. The amount of film study. McCourty was talking about the amount of film study. Reeve does. Mm-hmm. Reeve.
Yeah. See, that reads as Rev.
Right.
When you're tight with him, it's Reeve.
It's like when it was Big Say, and I didn't know if it was Big C, Big Say.
Rev. He's a big MLS fan. We call him
All right. Thanks, Rev. Brian, for the call.
Googe.
A lot of people jumping to conclusions. Scott says, now that Revis and Browner are both gone, do you think we can continue the tradition of drafting corners in the second round that can't play?
I think we might go first round that can't play.
Can you give me the names of a few 2020 fry cooks that the Patriots could draft? Personally, I was hoping for a D tackle like Brown, Phillips, or Goldman. Oh, right, sorry, it's too early for draft talk yet.
Yes, you're right.
You're right.
Way too early.
It is.
Quarterbacks, if you want. I finished watching
those. Free agency starts.
Yeah, you weren't impressed. You were watching.
Holy crap.
With who?
I knew they weren't good, but they get less good when you watch them.
Who?
All the quarterbacks.
In the draft.
Not to play the Chip Kelly role, but you get all these like 6-foot white guys who look like they should be playing high school football. Like that's what they.
Is
you
that
know
what
the guy
said?
That looks like. Are these jokes going over everybody's head? Stephen A. Smith accused Chip Kelly of being a racist on First Take. He only likes white players. That's why, you know, DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy and Trent Cole, they got to go, but Riley Cooper stays. That's what he kept saying. He doesn't say, like, you know, Byron Maxwell just got big money and he's black to come east.
Wait a minute. That was his
oh, God, yes.
His it rationale. Was, like, it wasn't because I missed Chip Kelly say something.
No,
his rationale
no.
was
yeah.
he stuck with
you know,
Riley
and
Cooper.
And he started by he was going to couch it by saying, you know, I was in Philly for long. And I tell you, I bet there's some brothers on the show. Hell, I'm saying. Like, and he did that whole thing. That one to Chip, what are you doing? And this he went on this whole racist rant where he's kind of tiptoed in and out of people, brothers on the street are saying, and I'm saying.
Yeah.
He kind of wove in and out of it himself.
Yeah.
Fireable offense, in my opinion, for a guy who has already had to apologize for
it's not fireball
choosing
his. Only the other way.
Choosing his words, he's already apologized. You know, I should have chosen my words better and all this. And once again, the woman, I think, tried to kind of get him out of it by saying, you know, he's clearly trying to create a culture. And he jumped all over. Culture, that's what I'm talking about, a culture. And he went on this whole thing. And the other guy just kind of sat there and said, yep. it was ugly.
Dan of Virginia writes in, just to play devil's advocate, and for this record, I would like Revis back. But to make an argument about value for money, with the Patriots' vaunted secondary of 2014 in place, Russell Wilson's arm and Doug Baldwin and a bunch of also-rans and Foot Locker salesmen scored 24 points in a Super Bowl. Revis got burned not only by Baldwin, Doug Baldwin for a TD in the Super Bowl, but also by Steve Smith Sr., a long-lived but not elite player, for a couple of big plays and a TD in the divisional round. Comparatively, with the Pats' much maligned secondary of 2011 in place, Eli Manning and the likes of Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, and Mario Manningham, when he was actually decent, scored 21 points in a Super Bowl.
Went up and down the field with reckless abandon.
Aren't a lot of those zeros on the paycheck there for the players to show up big time in the big game? Just a little food for thought and maybe an argument.
Is this no socks in Foxborough?
Because that's
basically what he said to me yesterday when he was ranting and raving.
Oh, boy, he did preface all that by saying, I'm playing devil's advocate.
And he didn't get burned for
he
a touchdown.
He didn't get burned
in
the Super Bowl.
He struggled. He did not play well against the Ravens.
I mean,
when you look at
that Seattle game, what was it like? At the end of the second quarter before Russell even completed a pass?
Right.
And then the plays, he had like three or four big plays. You know,
I don't really care how many passes he completed. Their offense was far better in that game than it is in most weeks. And the Ravens' offense was pretty good all year, and they were pretty good that week.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of Revis.
No,
receiver.
No,
I
want to stop you
because
that's not what I'm saying.
How many yards did they get off of the big receiver who had 100 and whatever yards, and the bobbled catch. I mean,
that's not what I'm saying.
They didn't exactly, you know, there's Darrell Revis. He's overrated. We're going to target him and bitch slap him.
The part that I was trying to defend the devil's advocate side that Dan was bringing up was that I think people look at it and say, we finally got a defense. Defense wins championships. I don't think that's what happened.
Right.
No.
I think Revis, if you take him away, you're going to have disaster defense again. Your defense got better because of Revis.
Yes.
In the playoffs, I you know how I think. I get stubborn on that. I think it was back to the same old, our offense better score a lot because we can't stop anybody. Now, that wasn't because of Revis. Yeah. That was not because
I don't
of
know
Revis.
About, and by
Revis
the way,
Revis was fine.
If we're going to include that, then get Devin McCourty the hell out of here.
Well.
Because if we're lobbing up balls to undrafted Canadian football
I'd like to
league,
see him come over
guys,
and knock one away.
You think Ed Reed would have allowed those? And that's what we just paid this guy like, to be one of those top safeties in football. So, you know, yes, you can pick and choose how you want to kind of portray and paint things.
Well, that's the thing. At the end of the day, you just know Revis is
funny,
good.
I didn't hear anybody all year long saying Revis is overrated and Revis sucks. I missed that. And now we're going to go back? That's very Patriots-esque of you, Dan. I'm very disappointed.
Brett in Orlando, I woke up this morning and saw that McCourty is going to be getting paid more than Earl Thomas and Revis is going to be hit free agency, and I thought, holy freaking blank. Revis is the elite player, and McCourty is the good complementary player who looks better than he is because he's playing with Revis. If you're going to overpay someone, overpay Revis. This contract smells like mayo and amendola, and if they don't keep Revis, this looks stupid. I think Bill likes McCourty so much because he's the ultimate yes man. If I'm missing something here, please help me out.
I like the Mayo comp.
Oh, yeah,
that's what I said.
I'm behind.
I'm out.
He becomes Mayo. He's a $15 million player who doesn't make plays.
You know what happens during the bye
Very
week
simple.
With you, right? I was out. I didn't hear all the Indy Hard comments.
You missed good stuff early. Might have been some shots at you. I don't know.
I don't care. You can take all the shots that you want.
His voice is hoarse from yelling, screaming like a little girl.
Fred says we are now back to the 2011-2013 years where McCourty will struggle to cover Logan Ryan's ass and Dennard is going to be our number one corner.
Time out. I'm as negative as anybody, but Revis has not left yet.
Let that sink in. Yeah. P.S. Dan of Virginia is an idiot. Revis got picked in that play.
He exactly. did.
He ran
he
into
did.
An official.
But I want to defend Dan only because he started the whole thing by saying,
Revis let you know by stopping immediately.
Let's look at the other side. Yeah. Let's play devil's advocate. I don't think that was Dan was saying that Darrell Revis stunk in the Super Bowl.
No, that was Matt in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's a different argument that you know we'll take that up later.
Who also went into? I mean, look at how many holes this team has.
Emailer says McCourty is a Jag. Revis is 100 times more important, and Browner is 50 times more important than McCourty.
McCourty is not a Jag.
Yeah, McCourty's not a
Now you're just being mean. Now that is, but that's what he's going to be. He's going to be ripped. He's going to absolutely.
Yeah. He's got a big.
What's that movie with the guy?
Price tag now.
He's going to get the Christ. He's going to become a worse player because of that contract. I don't mean physically.
Right.
He's going to be deemed to be worse than people thought he was last year.
And I'm going to feel bad for him because he is a good guy.
He's a good player. I don't think that he is a star. I have always sort of said I felt like there was a perception around here. That he's overrated.
I just found out he didn't make the Pro Bowl.
I think he's a good, solid player. I was surprised he got that much money. That said, I agree with the way Fred characterized it. That's what it cost to get him. And I actually wrote that to Matt in Foxborough because he asked me about it when I was down in Baltimore.
Well, we knew that's what he was going to get somewhere.
That was market value.
That's why I would have franchised him.
Austin in Toronto says, as I sit here today waiting to see how stupid Woody Johnson actually is, I have come to terms with 24 deciding to walk. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think we should mortgage the future over one player. Yes, he is transformational, one of the best ever. But the fact that he is even considering going to a train wreck like the Jets tells me he is all about the dollars and knows the Jets will offer way more than a contender would have to.
Time out. He hasn't left. We don't know where he's considering going. Like
evidently, Peter King says the Jets are the front runners. For what it's worth.
Personally, I don't think he is
until
worth
he changed
more.
It. And I misquoted that. It wasn't the Jets.
Roger Goodell actually told me that, but I misquoted him.
Austin says, personally, I don't think he's worth more than Sherman, but if his agents are telling him to get a crazy offer from New York to see how close the Patriots will come to matching, this is a game the Patriots don't and won't play, nor should they. I say let him go retire as a Jet, never sniff the playoffs again, and live happily ever after. If he stays, it's because he's a winner. A true winner would never get a taste of a championship, then bolt for more cash, knowing he'll likely never get back to the big game.
A lot of players do that.
This is the most nauseating thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm not going to begrudge this guy if he gets some crazy offer from the Jets.
And you knew, I'm not going to begrudge him for anything.
What you knew, what if he just wants to go here? What if he just likes New York? I mean, like,
you know, that I would begrudge.
No, but hold on a second. Hold on a second.
What?
Stupid. It's just stupid.
The guy's not allowed to like anything.
But I'm being serious for a second.
Idiotic.
I'd much rather be in Foxborough.
As a member of the Jets, he did go to the conference championship twice. So let's not make it out to be that, you know. It's impossible.
See, the thing I don't get is I thought
it was
Rex.
What if he just likes it?
Yeah, like, I thought he liked Rex. Does he?
I thought it was Rex. I thought it was Rex too.
Like, what
and
does
I'd
he
be,
like?
I would be surprised if he ends up with the Jets.
Does he just like New York City? Like,
I don't know. But I'm asking you, what if that's it? What if
to the Giants?
Like, a lot of people say, like, John Lester, he should stay in Boston. He's comfortable there. Well, what if that's true? What if he is comfortable there? What if for whatever reason Revis likes New York City? I don't know. Maybe he really liked it there. And when he left, he missed it.
I was actually thinking about that today because Vereen was going there.
Yep.
And I was thinking, like, you can't get much different than being here and going to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Foxborough to New York, Patriots, Giants, like, that's a huge transformation. I would not want to do it. The New York would not be a lure for me. I would be, who was the Bruin who went to Columbus just because he wanted to go to Columbus?
Nathan Horton.
Like, I would be one of those guys. I'd be looking for sort of the smaller market.
Right, especially if you live in Manhattan, the taxes? You're actually making less money
on the same. No, I'm not talking money. I'm talking about
the lifestyle.
I don't like people. I don't like traffic. I don't like big buildings. Paul doesn't like grates in the sidewalk. I mean, there are reasons people might not want the draw of that.
Yeah, but I don't think those guys live in suburban New Jersey. You
still got to be around there in traffic
and
drive.
It's dirty.
Dirty. Yeah.
I've never seen a guy who is so anti-city in my life.
Well, I mean, he lives on 40 acres.
It's unbelievable.
You guys are idiots.
I'm not making fun of you. You have a different.
You are.
By the way,
I'm not. I grew up in the city.
The
like
ice dams
city.
Got
didn't.
Me.
Oh.
You got a leak?
No, they ripped down my gutter in the back of the house. Just ripped it right down. Yeah.
You still had the dams? Stinks.
Yeah.
That's a damn shame.
Now Schefter is saying that Gore does plan to sign with the Colts. What a train wreck the Frank Gore situation has turned into, huh?
He seems like he's flip-flopping all over the place.
See, but that's a good case for the teams to argue. Just because things are reported, deals aren't done.
Right.
If the NFL is trying to crack down, you know, Gore was going to the Eagles.
But what's wrong with all this reporting if you're the NFL? It keeps people interested in the league.
Typical
NFL
short-sightedness.
No, it's because they didn't follow the letter of the law.
Yeah.
They're basically, it's another Goodell ego thing.
But
you didn't listen to exactly every word I said.
You know what
following.
Yeah, but you know what I look at it? It's us holding up the paper at the end of the Super Bowl, you know, on the field. We're not supposed to do that, but it's kind of a wink and a nod you're going to. And I think that's the same thing here.
Well,
I mean,
plus,
how are they going to not keep this information out?
But from the NFL's perspective, right, it's okay that at 4:00 in 30 seconds, Adam Schefter will have 17 texts tweets today, telling you about all these different guys signing somewhere.
How did
with
he know
exact,
that?
With the exact term, you know, 4 years, $40 million,
right.
You know, 21 guaranteed. And he'll go boom, 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 boom.
That's
okay.
And that was happening before the legal tampering situation.
That's
what happened last year.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
No, that's why they made this.
This was all the same last year. It happened.
They added legal tampering because they wanted to sort of be able to explain how deals are signed so quickly.
Right. But they were happening before, is what I'm saying. Even before they did this legal tampering.
No, I know, but that's what the
Adam Schefter would know the minute it became free agency.
He doesn't really listen, does he?
No.
I don't need to.
But I don't understand. Like,
au contraire, you might know something.
The NFL gets their panties in a bunch over some silly.
But that's Goodell.
Yeah.
That's Goodell.
Silly.
Right.
And I agree with Fred. The weekend was great. For the NFL,
right.
It was a great weekend. You got all these big college basketball tournaments going on. You got all, and what is
big?
No, I'm not talking about Northeastern. I'm talking about like the high level stuff, not Northeastern. There was big NBA games over the weekend. And what is anybody talking about? The spring training's going on. Baseball's getting ready to start. All anyone's talking about is Ndamukong Suh and this contract that he signed.
Right.
You know, breaking news every 30 seconds about someone's, you know, agreeing to a deal.
That's what you want, right?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But he wants it on his terms.
Oh.
Exactly.
Let's go to Balarco in Los Angeles on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Balarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, first of all, like, a huge shout-out to Miguel. Like, I read all of his articles on Fast Fans, and I also go to his website, Fast Cap, and I wish more people would just go there, like, and read what there rather than just like some of the comments I read on the internet just fills me with rage. Like, people know nothing about Kaepernick. I'm like, why are we trying to trade Brown, or why don't we just cut Arrington instead? Like, that's not the same thing. Yeah, but I'm also very happy that the whole legal tampering thing, like how Goodell is mad because it just blew up in his face. And what do you guys think about the Dolphins signing Sue? Because I feel like now they have kind of handicapped themselves by giving all this money to a defensive tackle when they have so many other needs.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, what is the average per year for Sue? I mean, it's a lot guaranteed, $60
million. 17-ish.
17 per year? I guess it is a lot for one guy. Because if they like Tannehill, they're going to have to pay him eventually. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's what it's all going to come down to.
Oh, yeah. It's quarterback money.
The contract is fine if Ryan Tannehill is good.
Right.
The contract stinks if Ryan Tannehill stinks.
Because it's all for nothing.
You can't win with a defensive tackle as your best player. But if Tannehill is good and suddenly they develop a good offense, then he helps them. Their run defense was terrible last year. He's a guy that not only will help that, but he can collapse the pocket from the inside. All of a sudden, you might have some pieces in place. But how many times are we going to say it about the AFC East teams? Wake me up when one of them gets a quarterback and they get that situation solved, because I think they're all improving. I think, especially Buffalo and Miami. The Jets not so much. I don't really know what they've done to him, but I think they signed James Carpenter, or they agreed to. That'll help them. But
trade for Marshall.
Right.
Brandon Marshall. That's right. So they've all improved themselves, but at what level? I mean, do you have any concern, even if they were to lose Revis, do you have any concern that those teams have, closed the gap?
No.
But I just feel like
I think Buffalo's got some
luster
pieces.
Comes off of your overall shine.
Oh, for your overall Super Bowl chances have taken a hit without Revis. But I'm just talking about the AFC East. Wake me when someone gets a quarterback.
Just a little bit of news. Apparently, Vereen is going to the Giants.
Yeah, I guess the crap sheet's been tweeting that out.
Okay.
Good for him. Hope he got some money. I like him. I like his grandmother, too.
Jerry writes in a series of questions. Why was it a good idea to lock in McCurdy instead of Revis?
It wasn't.
Yeah. It's not an instead None of. Us, it's yeah. yet. Who thought it was a good idea to tag the kicker?
I did.
Well,
answer that. I'm being serious. I didn't want to tag McCourty at $9.5 million.
Do you think Certainly the Patriots will bring in Percy Harvin?
Five nine and a halves.
Certainly a possibility. Oh, and by the way, people are also speculating in relation to Vereen that there were supposedly three teams in on Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Is silent?
I think a lot of people make the H silent. I don't know if it is or not.
The Giants were in on him too, so they're in Vereen, so now that's down to two, so one of those two teams could be the Patriots with Royalu.
What's the situation with the Patriots bringing in Jabal Sheard?
That was just a reported interest among five different teams. So that's not necessarily a first week of free agency kind of that could come.
And finally, if you could bring back Aaron Hernandez, would you?
No.
What?
This
oh, my God.
I don't get it.
No.
Do you see some of the texts are starting to come out now?
Yeah.
Boss girl, or what do you call her? He was texting to his girlfriend about the flop house and this, and I just starting to tiptoe down roads of interest.
Let's see. Douglas writes in from Brazil. Just one quick question. Do you think that with the signings that the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins are making, the AFC has become more competitive? Will we continue to run the East, and what do you guys think?
I mean,
they haven't.
Paul
says until these teams get good quarterbacks, it's not a race.
Well, they're better. I mean, I think
they are
improved.
Better.
So the games, I guess, if you say the games are going to be tighter, and like the Jets games couldn't be any tighter than they've been, or
and Buffalo's going to be a tougher
you lost
team.
To Miami once last year,
even if they didn't get Castle. I mean, with Rex there, Buffalo becomes a tougher team.
McCoy.
I'll say this, too. If the Jets get Fitzpatrick, who is as average can be, he's a lot better than Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And as Andy just pointed out, the Jets have given you Fitz with Geno Smith.
Except that was Rex. And
I know. But I think Todd Bowles is a pretty good defensive coach. I don't know if he's going to help the offense.
I just don't know. I haven't seen it. I've seen Rex give the Patriots problems.
Larry from San Diego bought our lunch today, so
thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. I'll read his email, then we'll take a break. He says, it's Larry from San Diego. My wife and I went to the Super Bowl, and it was the greatest sporting experience of our lives. I never went from so down to so high in one play before. Yeah. After the interception, my wife and I were jumping around like Brady did between experiencing the San Diego pseudo-Patriots home game and going to the Super Bowl. This was the best football year of my life. I've been saying that I wanted just one more championship with Brady and Belichick for the last 5 years, and to witness it in person is a dream come true. We tried to go to your hotel to visit you guys, but police blocked us as we were – that's Andy's made them do that. As we
Did you tell them that you knew Fred?
Yeah. As that we were driving down that long road that led to the hotel, we commented how much Belichick must have loved how far removed the hotel was. I have a good Roger Goodell story. My wife and I were walking down one of the Phoenix streets when all of a sudden we saw Roger Dodger taking pictures with some fans. As he was getting into his limo, I screamed out, "Hey!" He stuck his head out over the top of the door to see who was yelling, and he saw me in my full Patriot gear. I pointed to his limo and told him that I thought the tires on his car were underinflated. He smiled and shook his head as he got in his limo and drove off. After it happened, I couldn't believe that I just said that to the most powerful man in the NFL. But I also felt some satisfaction, and I will always remember that look on his face as he got in the car.
That's awesome.
Good, good, Larry. That's awesome.
I wish you had a photo of that, because that is awesome.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed your lunch, and my wife and I are already planning on booking our trip to Foxborough for that opening Thursday night game. By the way, Eric, when does the schedule come out? All right, we'll take a break. Thanks, Larry, for the lunch. When we come back, more calls and emails.
The new $5 New England Patriots instant scratch ticket from the Mass State Lottery features over $46 million in prizes. Win up to $250,000 instantly. And there are also second chance opportunities to win exclusive Patriots game day experiences, including away game trips to Miami for 10 years. It's the new $5 New England Patriots instant ticket from the Mass State Lottery. For more, visit masslottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play. Please play responsibly.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from A's Ticket, Boston's own ticket agency. We live and work here, and just like you, we are passionate Boston sports fans. We love live events, and most of all, we love our customers. And in return, our customers have given us the highest customer service rating of any ticket agency in America. Wow. Thanks to all employees of A's, and thank you to all our customers for rating us number one. When you need tickets, come experience the A's difference. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
A lot of people talk about giving their best. They talk about leaving it all on the field. But how do you know if it's enough? The simple fact is, you don't. But that's why you keep going. Keep working. Keep doing your job. And in the end, your results will show exactly how much you gave. Putnam is proud to partner with those who share their own commitment to performance excellence. This is Matt Light for Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
You've heard of Growing Up Gronk, but now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel, right?
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. My father, and I go, all right, got to go. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, just once I wanted to be big. Pow, bam, oh, wow. Boom.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, I had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Camilla. You know Aunt Camilla, right, from sure. Famous stories. They're sisters. So she calls up, she goes,
Oh, Allie's beaten the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in Progress.
All right, and we are back here at PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Of course, we're talking free agency, specifically Darrell Revis. All eyes are on him. The clock is ticking. 4 p.m. is when this league year starts, and everybody becomes a free agent who option hasn't been exercised. And as of right now, we're told that the Patriots will not exercise Revis's option. We're told that by Schefter and Ian Rapoport, so of course it may be true.
Well, we yeah, because I mean, it also looked like McCourty was on his way out the door.
That's
until
true.
The very last minute.
Right. So we'll,
we'll see.
That's why this is an interesting day.
We just don't know.
Mike East writes in, after years in not winning another Super Bowl, you destroy a defense that won. You can't win by pure offense. I thought they finally knew this. I guess I'm wrong. Yeah, who's running that personnel department? Paul? You know, he's the only one that thinks that only offense can win, but that's all right. Let's see. David writes in, and well, he's got a long email, but I'll read the first point. I'm not sure why the PFW team keeps saying that the Patriots have to and will sign Darrell Revis before the free agent deadline. I love Revis, and I want him on the
team.
I don't
think it has anything to do with the deadline. I just think they'll re-sign him.
However, no team is going to sign him and pay him $20 million next year, let alone incur a cap hit of $25 million like the Pats. That's not what they have to do. And if Revis hits the market, the Patriots have a better-than-average chance of signing him, given he is here and had a good experience. I have heard you say at least three times they let Aqib Talib go, and they could because they could get Darrell Revis. But when they let – no, no one said that here.
No.
We didn't. Yeah. We had no idea they were going to get Revis when they let Talib go.
No.
Well, we had predicted it months and months and months
ago. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, we did, but it was based in zero facts.
Right.
We had Vincent Jackson coming, too.
All right.
And the Talib thing, they wanted Talib. They gave him a big offer. So they didn't know they were getting Revis either.
Because Bill is aware that – it's easier to play defense when you have a guy that can cover.
Dan says, I'm sorry, but I can't fault anybody who is freaking over the possible loss of Revis. If the Patriots do not re-sign Revis, nothing short of some idiot team making him the highest paid player in the league by several millions will be acceptable. It will be the biggest blunder of this entire 15-year run of success, not just for this team, but for the entire run of success for Boston sports, and I don't think it's close. Well, it's only a blunder if they, you know, don't make the playoffs or, you know.
They also did win the Super Bowl with him.
Right, right.
You know, that was kind of what a lot of people were saying last year was,
oh, load up,
you know,
and win a Super Bowl.
Right,
I'm
load
happy
up
with
win a
that.
Super Bowl. It's a one-year rental, and I'll be fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were saying that last year.
Right.
But
yeah,
that's
but,
you know, to your point, Fred, about
I'm
the,
not,
the
well,
crazy
not one of them,
contract.
But
that would be an example. If you're making him the highest-paid defensive player in the league by several million. So you're giving him, like,
right.
Sue money, even more. That's a crazy contract.
And he's 30, Revis? How old
I think
is
he? He's 29, 30. But he will be 30 yeah, for the season.
July, I think he turns 30.
Okay.
But, which I don't think is that big a deal. I feel like corners play for plenty of years.
Yeah.
It's not like running back.
Charles Woodson?
I mean.
Played for a long time, right? Playing?
But, you know.
For a long time.
Ty was well into his mid-30s.
Listen,
right?
I want Revis, but I'm not going to say on the day that he leaves, if
on
he
the
does
day
leave,
that he leaves,
it was a blunder. I mean, I'm sure it was a calculated move that, you know, it could end up being a mistake. Absolutely.
I have not been worried about Revis leaving until this very moment. I'm dead serious.
See, he always thinks that I have an ulterior motive, that, like, I know something.
I'm going to be really concerned. I've maintained all along I thought both of them were coming back. So I still think Revis is coming back. I have no basis of fact. It's kind of like
right.
Andy and I doing the Revis thing last year with Vincent Jackson for a make your case. It's not based on any fact. I've really felt that Revis liked it here, and I felt like they realized the value of Revis, and it was a great relationship. That's why I think he's coming back.
And it might
back.
Still happen.
But right. if he doesn't come back, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, there was a calculated move, and, you know, right. these
well,
things happen.
But don't you want to see what transpires after, what they do with that money, what, you know.
I'm already unhappy with what they did with that money.
I want
because they gave it to McCourty.
Well, they gave some money to McCourty, yeah. Right.
I can already tell you how I'll be complaining. They wasted money on McCourty that could have gone to Revis.
Well, the question is, was it an either-or decision? I don't think it was.
I know. I don't think it is. I think if they want him, they can get him. If they don't, they won't.
You know, so it has nothing to do with what they gave McCourty.
But if it is an either-or decision, then they picked the wrong award.
I don't want to hear people say, you know, money, limitations, any of this. You just handed him $28 million, so there wasn't a limitation. You didn't have to do that.
And if it is either-or, I think they picked the wrong war.
Sure. Adam in Alexandria. First of all, Browner looked good at times, mainly because of McCourty babysitting him 90% of the time, not the other way around. I think it's odd that Paul thinks he is overrated locally. I think quite the opposite. He's talking about McCourty. Guys like him, Andy, and basically everyone at EEI thinks he's just that. Meh, a nice player, but not great. Sorry, we can agree to disagree. I see him at worst, the third best free safety in the league. Browner is a fringe starter at best and will only get worse in the coming year or two. I hope to God we keep Revis, but the whole why bother keeping McCourty if you aren't going to keep Revis thing is insane. If you lose Revis, you have to keep McCourty. You can't lose the best cornerback and a top five free safety in the same offseason. You just can't.
He may be one of the best free safeties, but I think he's easier to replace than a guy like
Revis. But he brings up a good point, and let's not take sides here right away. But you know what is what's the signal that was sent out when they signed McCourty? Is it what Dan is saying that we think we're going to lose Revis and we can't afford to lose both of them, so let's swoop in and give McCourty what he wants because, you know, because we can't afford to lose both.
I don't know if there was a signal being sent. I think maybe they just felt like they had a chance with one guy, so they struck while they could.
They were closer with him than they were with Revis.
And they needed more time with the other guy. And they want both.
Yeah, I think they want both. I could make an argument that McCourty made Browner better. Revis makes McCourty better. I mean, we can play that game all we want. The totally subjective thing that's based in 0% fact. Because that's, we can watch, and I do it all the time. I don't have stats to back it up, and I don't think that he's wrong. I don't think I forget the email's name. I'm sorry.
Dan. Yeah.
I don't think Dan's wrong. I think if you watch subjectively and you don't have, I think definitely. They shaded McCourty and helped Browner a lot, and that allows Browner to play that physical style at the line. And if someone runs by him and he doesn't get to hold him, you know, McCourty's there to protect. I don't think McCourty, and maybe my view of how other people view McCourty is off. I hear people on EEI and the Sports Hub call him one of the best safeties in football. I don't believe he is that. But I believe he's a good player. I said that earlier. I think he's a very
good player. Jerry Thornton, I bet, calls him the best safety.
Do you think he's a, I mean, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player.
Right. I think the Mayo comparison is very similar. Good player.
Good,
not great
solid
player.
Good, solid player who I'll take on my
not
team
a game
any day.
Changer. Not a game changer.
But now I think he becomes a different kind of player when you put him in this kind of a financial bracket. And I think Andy is right. Especially if they lose Revis, there's going to be a lot of pressure and a lot of spotlight on him.
He's going to have to show up on the stat sheet.
In the eyes of other people, he's going to become a lesser player next year.
Yep, you're right.
If he plays exactly the same as he did this year,
yep,
it won't be good enough next year.
It's unfair, but true.
Unless everybody's back and the defense is great.
Yemi in Texas, is it just me or are the Patriots overpaying for a kicker and a safety? Were there no good kickers in last year's draft or even this year's draft? This was a bad tag by the Patriots. The Patriots are usually prepared for this type of stuff. With his resume, Gostkowski would be foolish to sign a long-term deal now. He can get the $4.5 million this year and sign a long-term deal next year.
I don't think they paid all that much more for than what they would have given him anyway. Peanuts.
Dan in San Antonio, does anyone have a feeling we went for a last-minute desperate bid for McCourty because we know we're losing Revis?
That's what Fred just
Because with those numbers, it's going to be next to impossible to get Revis now that will make Revis happy and keep us under the cap. I have a feeling Bill went for someone that he knew could come back for less than what Revis would come back for.
Obviously McCourty wasn't going to get anywhere near what
Revis
was getting.
In other words, it's the bird in hand. We can get this guy. Let's just get him
If
done.
We offer McCourty this, he'll take it. If we offer Revis that, I don't know if he'll take it. Right. He might ask for more.
Right.
I'm not sure the Patriots want to give him much more than they gave McCourty. to be honest with you, based on age and stuff like that. I think it's going to cost you more than that, don't you?
It should.
Nick in Wisconsin, yes, we have to treat the Revis and Browner situations differently. However, they have to be connected. I feel way better with Browner as the number one corner if Revis leaves than trotting Kyle Arrington or Logan, here's a free reception Ryan out there.
I don't. I mean, I think Browner is better than those guys, but not enough to make me feel better about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he's markedly better than the other guys.
And he also loses marginally, McCourty.
Not markedly. Marginally better.
I was wondering.
I'm sorry about that. Misspoke.
He also loses McCourty because McCourty also will have to worry about the other side, too.
Sam in Chicago, I know Devin McCourty got a big contract not in line with the public perception of his playmaking ability. Let's consider the intangible, stable locker room presence Devin has on his teammates. Something I kept hearing during the post-Super Bowl celebration was what a good locker room and chemistry the Patriots had. McCourty may be paid high, but are you all just considering the physical talent scale?
Good point.
Yeah.
I think...
Andy,
that gets you a little bit more.
About losing leaders. And I think he is a good locker room presence.
And they won't be perceived to have a great locker room if they're giving up 40-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, we don't think that. Great locker rooms don't win games.
No.
Bad locker rooms can lose them, but
you
got to have good talent. And you know, that's the first and foremost.
And I also don't know that they'll have a great locker room next year if Browner's back and McCourty's back and they start struggling and Browner and criticism. And we've seen him be a little...
vociferous,
yeah, and bristle at media and different things, and it was a pretty uneventful season for him. What if it's an actual? Well, you're the number one corner now, and you're giving up penalties and plays all the time, and the spotlight's on him. Then all of a sudden, that could come to a head.
And not so jovial,
right? So I just winning cures all, and you have a great locker room, and losing creates bad locker rooms.
Have you ever seen a losing team with a great locker room?
Well, that's my point. Right. Great locker rooms don't win games.
Right.
Talented teams can have good chemistry.
Did you see some college basketball coach locked his team out of the locker room because they stunk so bad and they should continue to stink or something? Like it was like some coaching message they weren't allowed to shower. Take the stink home with you or something.
Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good.
Great. Enough of this Revis talk. Andre Johnson's out there.
No, man, because Paul, I agree with you on some of the stuff. But to me, from what I've seen in free agency, Buffalo, New York, and Miami are getting better. And
yeah, I agree.
And Browner
I agree.
Reeves and Browner walked. Okay, Chino almost beat us, but they added Marshall, and they got Jekyll on the other side. And look at Ryan and Arrington. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. So I think Phil at the GM. I'd have to find Revis, man, and talk to McCourty. That'd been the first priority. That'd been the first. Because you know the Jets want him. And if you go to the Jets, or if you go, let's say you go to Buffalo where Rex is. They already got a decent defense, you know, with the corners and the safeties and pressure. You got Capsule back there.
They'll have a kick-ass defense for sure, but will they be able to score?
Will they need
to? I think they will. They got McCoy. They got Watkins,
yeah.
And then you have a quarterback that can throw.
Yeah.
Put it there.
Yeah.
So there will be a premier threat to us. And yeah. I think if you lose that defense, we hurt. And secondary, we hurt. And had enough field. It's gone, so we hurt, man, to be honest with you.
Relax.
We're not
hurt. You're still a team that is going to be expected
Thanks,
to
Eldridge.
Go to the AFC title game. I don't know if you'll be a Super Bowl favorite when, you know, all the pieces kind of fall into place. You will be expected to go to the AFC title game for the fifth consecutive year, right? That's the baseline.
I would say
you have Tom Brady, you have Rob Gronkowski, you have.
But you know what I think? You know what I think you'll see this year.
But
though?
I'm saying even if
you'll see 10-20% of the experts pick another team besides the Patriots. AFC East. You'll start to see that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
I think so. If
why would you?
If it all comes down where they lose Revis and all that stuff.
There's no reason to. There's no, like, wow. Because wow is a quarterback.
I think the Bills have gotten better. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't count the last game because the Patriots didn't play. But even in that first game, they gave them a run for their money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and so I think the gap between the Patriots and Bills, was big last year, but it wasn't as big as, you know, we think it is. And I think that they caught up a little already on paper. We'll see if that, you know, happens on the field. But right now, the Bills are better than they were last year.
That's fine.
Better coach, right?
I think so,
makes
yes.
a big deal in football.
I talked to a very big Bills fan over the weekend at Loser Palooza, and he could not have been more negative on Marrone. He says, supposed to be this offensive guy, offensive-minded guy. He's always coached on that side of the ball. He's done absolutely nothing creative with the offense in the 2 years that he was there. He was so excited that he opted out of that contract. And then, you know, he's not sure about Rex Ryan. He thinks Rex Ryan, obviously, is a huge improvement of Marrone. He's not sure long-term about Ryan. Same kind of reservations right. that most of us have about him.
Excitement.
But he thinks they've vastly upgraded their coach, and he's really excited about LeSean McCoy. I mean, there's some enthusiasm
sure.
there.
Yeah.
And they'll still finish behind the Patriots in the standings.
Unless they figure out some way to get a solution. And I don't see how it – I mean, I think Castle has to be the guy this year.
And I actually like Castle.
I think he can get you at least
10 wins. Let's compare
this
to his first – no, maybe his second year in Kansas City. Remember, he threw, like, two picks. He had a he didn't turn the ball over until he got to the postseason. Then he turned it over in boatloads. If he does that – That's what Rex is looking for.
Right.
Don't turn it over. Don't screw things up for my defense. McCoy makes some plays. Every once in a while, you know, we'll win games 14-12 or whatever we have to do.
Right.
And I think Castle is capable of doing that.
Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let me tell you, I'm really getting nervous about this Revis thing, talking to other teams and stuff. And this is just personally me, but if I was the GM, I know we all like to play that game. I would have probably re-signed or extended him or whatever before McCourty and Bolden and Chung and Cannon, all these guys. And I just think that he needs to work a little more aggressively. This is just my opinion. I'm not the GM. I don't know everything that goes into it. But I just feel like if you look back on what we had before we had a number one corner when it was like third in a million and people still converted it, I think that would like that should make someone like try to be more aggressive with it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but how do you know that they didn't try to sign him before? And he said, you know what, I'd rather wait.
I don't, but I'm just talking, like, let's say if, like, the Jags just throw some huge front-loaded deal at him, he's just gone because of that. I just feel like if he's gone, then that was a major mistake, and I don't feel like it's one of those Fred Kurst things where it's like, oh, we'll be just as good without him. I don't think we will. I don't trust us drafting, and I don't see other huge, big-name cornerbacks out in free agency. I just don't see that.
Are you happy, though, that they won a Super Bowl with him?
Yeah, I love the Super Bowl.
Well, absolutely. Then, I mean, that's what you got to hang your hat on, then.
Right.
If he leaves.
See, I just
– they accomplished the
haven't
role.
Haven't we learned enough now to not – go crazy because of these off seasons?
Apparently not.
You know,
no
people are going crazy.
You know, and will the team that gets Revis, if he doesn't go to the Patriots, win the Super Bowl?
No.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know,
not necessarily.
No, but
there's no guarantee for sure.
Right.
Especially if he goes to the Jets.
Right. No one's going crazy. There's a few emailers that seem to be.
Yeah, there are a few
and
people
I am
who
going
are,
to
who are already
people
predicting
want
that
Revis
he's
gone.
Disappointed.
And I understand it. I mean, in this particular case, I think Revis is that – he's a different kind of player than we've had in this situation.
Exactly. We were shocked that the Patriots got him.
Well, you know what this is similar to is Randy Moss. Had he left after 07 and gone to the Eagles.
Right.
Which had a Hall of Fame talent in the prime of his career who led you to a – you didn't win, but who led you to a near-perfect season, and you let him go.
Yeah.
That would be the comp for this.
Yep.
But so I understand why people are a little bit antsy right now. It's
and
a couple
that
hours.
Said, pick the Patriots to win the East, 12 games, and have a good chance to vie for a Super Bowl.
Even without Revis.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
If he walks out the door, you are where you are almost every year.
Like
right?
I said, wake me when the
now,
quarterback
the
situation
will say,
in the division
what
changes.
Are the chances Gronkowski plays more than half the games again next year?
Maybe
what are the chances this? And
maybe
chances
he won't,
that?
But where did you go when he didn't play more than half
right.
the game? 12-4.
Right.
Because why? Because
it always works out
no,
for Bill Belichick.
No.
Wait, that was the wrong answer?
Because the components have the main components have not changed. The head coach is there and the quarterback is there. The other three teams in the division can't say that.
And the bad GM. Belichick.
Oh,
you know, we're back to Belichick, the
very,
GM.
Very, very good draft.
Bungling these things.
Big Al from Valdosta is on the line. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, good afternoon there, boys.
What's up?
Once again, as others have said, big ups, as the kids say, to Miguel guy is big fantastic. Ups. You know, I think a lot of us fans like the fact that there's a cap and revenue sharing in the NFL, unlike Major League Baseball, that sort of fakes its way through it or whatever. But you don't understand a lot of the details, and he really helps with that. In fact, if I can make a suggestion, there's a show that you guys run, which I thought really I didn't pay much attention to, but lately I pay a lot of attention to it. It's your weekly roster report that you run.
Right.
And that's very valuable. At first, I'm like, what do you mean I know the roster? But no, you don't know the roster. They make so many moves throughout the season. You need that weekly roster report. Maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing if you had like a weekly or 2 weeks or whatever way you want to do it, cap report.
Yeah, it's like the farm report on, you know, the country stations.
Exactly. But just
farm futures trading well
today.
Yeah,
the commodities are up.
Listen, I am fully prepared for Revis to walk. Was shocked when we got him to begin with, so not going to be shocked when he leaves. And you look at what's going on in the league. One stat jumps out at me, and it may impact what you think of these shutdown corners. 2 years ago, there were 41 defensive holding penalties league-wide the whole year. 2 years ago. Last year, 117.
Wow, now, that's a big jump.
I was not a math major, but that's almost triple on my calculator. Okay? 123 would be triple. We're six short of that. 117. Tripling the number of defensive holding calls.
Now, because Browner missed seven games.
On Brandon Browner, but a lot of them
because he missed seven games.
Otherwise, you would have more than tripled it.
You would have gotten your triple.
And Revis hardly gets any of them, but who cares? If the flag gets thrown, it's first and 10. Whether Revis got the call or Browner got the call, either way, it's first and 10 for the bad guys. So I just think that if that's the new normal, if we're really going to be serious, not like the Bill Polian bitching 10 years ago that really wasn't that serious, if we're really serious about this many flags for defensive holding, it's almost like, and I heard Zolak say this during one of the games, it almost forces you into a zone on third down to avoid the flag. And if that's the case, then why do you need all these shutdown corners? You know, you'd almost be better off playing the Tampa 2 or whatever, some zone kind of thing. We might clean house. You might see Harrington gone. You might see Ryan gone. You might see Browner gone and Revis. We might completely rebuild the entire defensive backfield based upon what.
I think even in a zone, you got to cover when he comes in the zone.
I think the empirical evidence that we have would certainly dispute that. They just gave the free safety $47.5 million.
Right.
So I don't think they have any chance. I hear what you're saying,
Al. You know, but.
You still got to cover.
You got to cover, whether it's zone or man.
I mean, there are guys who are better at man, and Revis is one of those. There are guys that are better at zone, certainly. But you have to have guys that can cover. And I have my doubts that, we'll just play zone with Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler, and we'll be fine. I don't think you'll be fine. I think you will give up a lot of plays.
And I think they played a lot of man this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't have the breakdown exactly what the percentages
were.
But they're a man team. I saw
more
a
often
lot
than
of man.
Yeah, they're a man team more often than not.
I saw one email from somebody, kind of justifying Revis leaving before he actually leaves, in saying that, you know, the new normal is you just throw it up and hope you get a flag or the big play. And if that's going to be the new normal, then you don't need a shorter guy, even as great as Revis is. You need taller cornerbacks who may not be as good, but at least can, you know, contest the jump ball.
It's an extreme ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, because they were all reacting off this Super Bowl, and that's what happened.
I mean, right. Do you think those were jump balls in the Super Bowl?
Not really.
I didn't think any of them were jump
they
balls.
They were kind of uncontested.
Yeah, I mean, there was one that I thought Matthews got away with a little bit of a push on Arrington. That you can make an argument that
the one
maybe
down the right
he
side
wasn't
line.
Open.
Right.
The other ones, he had a step, and they threw it up, and he caught it.
Seth writes in, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I guess you guys are really the only guys of the opinion that McCourty isn't a very good safety.
Oh, that's
who
not
said
true.
That? You can't believe what you're hearing because you're not hearing, because you're not listening.
I
you
said
don't
I think he's a good player. Just because I don't think he's better than Earl Thomas doesn't mean I don't think he's good.
Pro Football Focus says he has a plus 17 over the last three seasons.
Seth says he thinks he's easily the top three safety in the league. I do give you merit on the Mayo argument, but that they are good what is something our good safety supposed to do? Not hear their name called. Okay, so
I disagree.
Yeah.
I think good safety. I don't think a safety is to
make plays. Yes.
Make plays as well as not give them up.
A safety's not an offensive guard.
He says
he's
just
not
for
doing
the sake
his job
argument,
when you don't hear his name.
Just for the sake of argument, name two better safeties than McCourty other than Thomas.
Earl Thomas.
Eric Berry.
Eric Weddle. That's three right there. And Eric Weddle went way
up in my
book.
I didn't even give you any thought.
Yeah, you never used to like him.
Ever since I saw him shut down Gronk, I go, that guy with a beard can play. You know me. If you can shut down Gronk, you might be one of the best ever. You'll hear me saying Hall of Fame for Weddle in a couple
All right, calm down.
Dr. Peter in Cambridge. Not Peter, doctor. Dr. Peter. He says, look, I hope Revis stays. I think he's a positive influence, but let's not go crazy here. A, Revis was a good, solid corner, but not a god. He was often not on the opponent's number one receiver. He was frequently on the number two receiver with the number one getting doubled. His best matchup was...
Wait, you don't think that allows you to do that? That's a schematic and philosophical choice because you have a great cover corner.
Not even to mention, I would think that I disagree with the percentages of that breakdown, but that's okay.
His best matchup was an older veteran receiver. Why? Because he's smart enough to cover, and the older receivers
like
are slower.
Allen?
Revis was
first got an older veteran receiver because he looks like a second year receiver who he absolutely took out of the game.
Second year number one rookie Sammy Watkins, first year number one. I mean,
holy Dingleberry Humperdink.
Revis was one of the best corners ever, but he's older, slower post injury. B. Revis will get overpaid. Everyone has said Revis will get a $16 to $18 million kind of deal because he deserves a best in the league contract.
Haven't actually heard the $18 million that much.
The problem is you are comparing his contract to the contracts given to 24 or 25-year-olds. See, Revis and the Patriots know this. The problem is they both know Revis is not worth $16 million a year for 3 years guaranteed, but someone will pay him that, just not the Patriots. D.
How old is Ndamukong Suh?
Let me ask you this. If the Patriots were to give him a 3-year deal.
Six, maybe?
I think he's 28, maybe 29.
Is he really that
old? I think he's going to be 28.
If the Patriots give him three 16s guaranteed, would you be upset about that? Because I'll guarantee you this emailer wouldn't be.
All guaranteed?
$48 million?
3 years, $48 million. You'd be upset with that.
No, I wouldn't be upset, but it's a big risk.
Why?
Guaranteed money? I mean, you know, one injury and now you're out, you know, $16 million hole in a season.
Yeah.
So, I would do it. I would do it. But it's risky to guarantee.
Everything's risky.
It's risky to give any
contract you sign contract. Is risky.
Defense did not win the Super Bowl. Both losing Super Bowl Patriots defense gave up fewer points than this year. I love Brady, but I believe he has sometimes gotten more credit than he deserves. Not this year. He won the Super Bowl by changing his game to an unbelievably quick-release passing game. The defense didn't slow the Ravens that much, and they gave up big play after big play against the Seahawks. That's what Paul's point. I think Revis could come back on a pretend contract, 6 year, $100 million, $30 million guaranteed, where the out years are monster phantom years. We need good corners, but Revis is not the only answer. I would love to keep him, but it just doesn't feel like Bill won't match what the crazies will pay. Any chance we can get him some extra money as a player coach? We need a better corners coach, and maybe it's him.
I guess it comes down to Andy and I think more of Revis, you know, Eric too. I think more of Revis than that guy.
And I'm really surprised how quickly people have turned on him. He is not yet a former Patriot, and they're shredding him. And I didn't hear any of this.
And I did not hear
how much he sucked during the year.
That will bother me.
I mean, but they're already saying it.
Defense
didn't win the Super Bowl. The Ravens were killing him.
But that guy said it.
We had another one of those earlier.
If the criticism
and Matt
is,
and Foxborough says it.
The other one earlier was a total devil's advocate look. Dan's email. This one is not that good.
That's right.
And if I hear the Revis is not that good argument, that's gonna send me into one of my poly arguments. If you want to say that I wouldn't have paid him that much money either, or whatever, you know, it was too expensive. I disagree with you, depending on how much we're talking, but I can live with that. But don't tell me that what I saw last year, it wasn't good.
Johnny in L.A., not listening live, so forgive me if this has been covered. Personally, I don't think the Pats should break the bank for Revis. While I think he's a very good cornerback, I don't think he's the same guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. Are you guys hearing this from anyone else? Other fans or media
members? The last guy that just emailed.
It's just my opinion, but whatever team pays for him is going to overpay for past performance. So with that said, not only do I not want them to re-sign him for crazy money, I think Bill is going to be content to let him sign elsewhere. I guess we'll find out soon.
I wish this was earlier in the show when we got these emails, because I like to throw it out, and we always get good interaction when we do this. Tell me right now what you would want to re-sign Revis for, because I want it on record what people think is an overpay. That's what everybody's going to say, no matter where he goes.
I can't wait for it to be 4:02 and have all the tweets come down. Revis staying in Foxborough. I still think he's staying in Foxborough.
I do too. But I want to know what number is an overpay before he signs somewhere else.
Even we may not know at 4:02 whether he's staying, or he could be a free agent for days.
I know that. But unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be a free agent when we come back on the show on Thursday.
I think he's going to be signed by somebody.
Well, yeah, we're here,
and I want to know. I want to know what people think is an overpay. Now, not when he signs with the Jets. They overpaid. Because I know that's what will happen. No matter where he signs, if it's not New England, it will be deemed an overpay by a lot of people.
4 years, $64 million, $48 million guaranteed.
Is that an overpay?
No, I'm just asking you. I made four years, $16 million per, not all of it guaranteed, $48 million guaranteed, so 75% of it guaranteed.
4 years? Yeah, I'd do that.
That's his $16 million a year. That kind of is basically a continuation of the Tampa contract, although it's a little more guaranteed, quote unquote. Sue is 28, so he's a year and a half older than Revis. He just signed a 6-year, $114 million deal. So to say Revis isn't in the ballpark of a big deal is not real.
Seth protests. He says about Weddle. He says he couldn't polish McCourty's shoes.
Hey, polish Rob Gronkowski's.
Right. And Gronk is 10 times the player McCourty is, so do with that what you may.
That was an eye-opening game for me, because I was not a huge Eric Weddle guy until that night, I have to be honest.
A little caller on emailer crime. Rick in Louisville writes in, Justin in Virginia has gone from saying, I think a million times to I feel. Key component in his calls are the word I. Hey, Jackass, stop talking about what goes on inside of your so-called mind and give us a concise, to-the-point statement that's not long-winded.
I don't agree with that.
Wow.
I think Justin has done a fine job, has grown as a caller. And the way I interpret it, when you call a sports talk radio show, you're there to give your opinion.
That's what
your purpose
is.
So you should say I. I don't want to hear other people's opinions.
Don't we assume it's your opinion? I know when you're right.
I know when you write...
You're not supposed to say, I think, or whatever. Right. We assume that the writer thinks that, so they don't have to say that.
Oh, I say I think in SPFW a lot to make sure that it's never interpreted as anything other than my opinion. Right?
Well, you're writing it. You signed it. Andy Hart.
Yeah, but if I write on Patriots.com, Shane Vereen is an overrated bust as a second-round pick.
Now, I'm going to look for that more. I'm going to change it.
Oh, no.
If you want me to remove I think from SPFW,
I will.
I think
you should.
No way.
Yes. It's a response to a letter with your name on it. We know you'll
be good.
You wouldn't write it if you didn't think it, right?
This will be good.
Yeah.
You want me to do that?
Yes.
Okay, you're prepared.
All
to deal
of my opinions, all that out.
Why are you so giddy?
Because it's going to lead to chaos.
Because he's actually thinking about more than just the 2 seconds that are in front of us, and he's thinking about a reaction that takes place somewhere else in the building.
What's the difference if you have a letter with your name on it that says I think or doesn't say I think?
And then all of a sudden people are reading this, and outside people are thinking, the Patriots' own website says that he's this, and the other letters to PFW.
It doesn't matter. There is a vibe and a way. I can't help people
if they're dumb.
That's good.
That's our response.
That's a good way to
If someone said something to me, I'd say, "You see what this is, right? These are letters, and this is Andy's response to a letter." Okay.
Do we need to keep talking? Fred, how many times have I told you?
I would welcome that conversation.
How many times do I have to tell you I need 10 more good years out of you?
I would welcome that conversation.
If you take that tone with one of the people that could complain,
we're all out of here.
I'm telling you.
But I'm
this will be done. This is the last broadcast ever.
I know you have a low opinion of most people in your life, but...
I don't even know what that means.
No one here is that clueless to be able to confuse someone's response to a letter as to a global opinion of the newspaper.
Have you met Mike Florio?
Do we care what Mike Florio thinks?
Yes.
He has power.
If he makes a big deal out of something, that's not right.
Stop it.
We put the F in pro football talk.
It's a perception. It's not reality. It's a perception.
Wow. I know.
Stop.
How about pro football?
Yeah.
You're also underestimating my ability to argue on your behalf, which, if it wasn't good, you'd be gone by now.
That is true.
That's absolutely fact, not a
But I'm more worried about who you're arguing with than...
Don't worry about it. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
I do worry about it.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Hey.
Melvin.
Stop. I got a couple of quick points, and I'll get out now. Have you all talked about Reggie Wayne? The possibility of that up, down?
No.
Think about him.
No,
we haven't talked about Reggie Wayne. I don't.
Not on this show.
Who the Patriots were based on the guy I saw last year.
Yeah, I don't. Who the hell closed this?
Me.
What did you do?
I used my hands.
He's a wrench?
No, I used my hands.
I can't open it.
I know, because you're a pussy.
Yeah, come on, open it for me.
And all that.
The Patriots, remember, were reportedly interested. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
You couldn't open that? I couldn't.
When he was a free agent.
My God. Yeah. You need to, take care of business a little more often. Strengthens the forearms.
Yeah, I don't really have any interest in Reggie Wayne at this stage. I love Reggie Wayne, but I think he is done.
Yeah, he's
based on the two games I saw against the Patriots, I think he is D-U-N.
I would want Andre Johnson.
But again, it's my same argument. Yeah. If it's Brian Toombs or Reggie Wayne, I'd take Reggie Wayne. If it's Andre Johnson or Brian Toombs, I'd take Andre Johnson. If it's Andre Johnson or Reggie Wayne, I'd take Andre Johnson.
Okay. Last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to let y'all go. This is really far-fetched, but still, I thought it was an interesting thing I talked about. I talked about with some friends. I know everybody has talked about the, you know, passing over of Tom Brady, you know, to Jimmy. Do you all think that there's any chance that Josh McDaniels, I know a lot of people bash him, and I know he might not be well-liked, but still I like keeping things in-house. What are the chances, do you all think, that Josh McDaniels eventually becomes the New England Patriots head coach after Bill gets done?
It's not
35%.
It's not far-fetched
35?
At all. I think a lot of people have
really
put
low
that forward.
Yeah. I would go 42%. So it goes up 7%.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I like Josh. You know, I think
I do too.
But I like y'all talk about it. I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Melvin.
I like
just
Josh
under, just
a lot
under
too.
50%.
And I have to think that there's a good chance Josh leaves next year and Bill
it's possible.
So
yeah.
That'll kind of poo-poo
see,
that.
That's the thing. I think Josh is going to go somewhere else before he gets a job.
And that's
here.
Why I would drop my percentage down around what you guys said, because I feel like Bill is not going anywhere.
But you never know.
Not anytime soon.
He's knocking on the door of Marv Levy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 7 years is a long time.
Is that how far?
What if they win
it?
I think he's 63.
Back to back.
Oh yeah, that's true.
No?
Let's go to Jules in
Florida.
Hey, Jules.
Edelman.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good.
I love you, Jules.
I want you guys to know unequivocally. I think everybody.
We know you think. It's your opinion.
That everybody obviously wants Revis back, but assuming he gets Sue money, and Dominican Sue money, and we don't, you know, have the stomach to match that or come close to it, are there any other relatively decent cover corners on the market that we could bring in for a cheaper price, or
not really?
Those already been picked through.
Yeah, the pickings are slim, so to speak.
Pickings are slim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, you have the best one.
All right.
there are always guys that you can sign, but, I mean, obviously, you're not signing a number one quality corner.
You're going to have to spend
of Revis's
you're going to have to spend the money you saved on Revis elsewhere and try to strengthen other areas, maybe the pass rush or whatever, to make up for that deficiency. There's no doubt. You're going to be worse in that position if Revis leaves. There's no way to overcome that. Austin says, we're a tough crowd today. He thinks the Jets will offer 5 years, $100 million. If they do, that's too much.
Well, it depends on the guarantee.
Yeah. What was it?
5 years,
$100 million. $20 million a year for 5 years.
But I don't know the guarantee.
Yeah, I would need to see the guarantee. I'd pay, the parameters of that deal, I think, is an overpay. But Andy's right. If it's like a $35 million guarantee, then it's not an overpay.
Big news
before
we head into free agency. James Devlin has signed his exclusive free agent tender. He will return to the Patriots in 2015.
Oh, thank God.
Terms.
Thank God.
Now terms they're going for back Vereen, to the first
yeah,
I've seen
I saw that,
it.
But I was more worried about Devlin.
4 for $16, according to Ralph Vacchiano.
So $4 million a
year. Who's a Giants beat writer.
That's kind of what we thought the market was, right?
Yeah.
But we thought that he was going to want five.
Well, no, he said he wanted five.
Well, no, he
and
said
then
he didn't
and then
say
he said, no. Good
negotiation. Down to 3.5, I thought.
Well, I thought 3.5 to 4 would be where the market would come in, and that's probably where it
good
came in.
Good for him. 4 years, 16.
Good for him. New York.
Yeah.
He's a pretty photogenic guy.
Yeah,
he could probably get some ads and some sort of, you know.
No more burger time with Julian Edelman, though.
And I'm sure James White eats burgers. I'm sure I'm not sure Reggie Bush.
All right, we'll take one more call before
like
we wrap it up today.
Kind of
Robert's calling from Denver. Hey, Robert.
Hey, fellas. I found you guys thanks to the app notification. Love the show. I just wanted to say about Revis, everyone needs to calm down about Revis. I mean, it's definitely a big deal. I mean, I think it's all about perspective. People are freaking out because, oh, we signed McCourty, we franchised the kicker. But that's what the Patriots have to do. They've got to make moves in the offseason. If we just didn't do anything and just held our breath waiting for Revis the whole time, then that would be even a bigger blunder than letting Revis go. So I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Robert from Denver chiming in. So he said, you got to do something.
$18 million a year, I'm seeing on Twitter, is what people think is overpay. Oh, $16 million a year, I think people assume, is in the ballpark. And then, now, the issue, there's a $2 million gap there. Would you go 17? Is 17 too much?
See, but that's the thing, is if you're good with 16 and not 18, that's what you're saying is an overpay. So that's why, I want a base.
Right.
So then when he signs,
said 18 million.
When he signs, overpay. We can say, okay, well, I'll give you credit. You said that was an overpay before he signed it. I want a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's good.
On the record.
Falsity for a baseline.
The funny thing with all those is you couldn't go $2 million for the best corner in team history.
No,
like, you know what I mean?
But you know what?
There's a line.
But I'm not going to do it because I'm going to assume if you think 18 is too much, then you're probably not overly comfortable with 16.
You're already
so
pushing
I'm
yourself.
I'm stretching it to get to 16. So
like
gonna,
House Hunters, what's your budget? $350?
I'll give everybody who feels 18 is too much the benefit of the doubt. You know, 16 was already stretching it.
Right. That's your top.
Sky's falling.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
He's
obviously,
coming back. You
want
this time on,
you
on Thursday,
on
be done.
Patriots.com
yeah, be done.
To get the updates from these guys. Twitter for the Patriots, of course, the official team site. Until it's on that, it's not official. But
especially if I write, I think, in front of it.
Right. We'll see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.